On a cricket front, the Ashes is proving so absorbing. The psychological change that's come over this test series, Australia still holds the 1-0 lead Thursday night at Leeds. So to Headingley, what happens next? Manus Labuschagne, well, when you show tenacity and pluck like he did as the sub coming in, batting Australia to safety, staring down Jofra Archer, wearing one in the grill second ball and getting straight back up, he simply has to be part of what happens next. Here's a bit of Labuschagne on the events that transpired.
What it does do is it makes you on. It means you there's no mucking around. You're watching the ball and you're trying to work as hard as you can to see that ball as early as you can. That's the benefit of facing someone that fast in your sort of first few balls. And then it was just about making sure you stick to your processes and your plans that you've got. It got me flush, but it was just get up and get on with it. I think that was my sort of. I just wanted to get up, make sure, because, if you get hit, obviously it gets you more. It got me quite flush in the grill, so that took most of the blow, and you get up and try and act cool.
It is rather thrilling and terrifying. Dean Jones says you can't really understand unless you've been out there. I'd believe that, but you can get some level. I think you can get some level. So let's talk to a man who knows and probably will know. Since last he was in the studio, he's been part of the Australian Test squad. He's been named the Bradman Young Cricketer of the Year. He's won a Sheffield Shield with Victoria and he's been touring with Australia A in England. Will Pekowski, welcome back to SEN.
Thanks, Jared.
It's great to see you. You've packed a lot in.
Yeah, it's been a big 8 months or so, but yeah, all part of the journey.
We'll walk through all of that as we go. Are you losing a lot of sleep to the Ashes?
Yeah, losing a bit. It's a big time to be a sports fan at the moment. Everything's on. The Premier League started, the Ashes, the footy, so it's all heading up, which is good.
What's it like to watch when Jofra Archer is hitting Smith, hitting Labuschagne, hitting Wade, hitting Payne?
It's exhilarating. It's a tough one because you're sort of in a position where you want to be in that situation. Like, you want to be the batter, you want to be the guy out there, I guess, representing your country, but at the same time, it's pretty scary, I reckon. Like, just watching someone obviously that good, being Smith, go up against someone, and I was saying before, like, it's the first time I've ever seen him look genuinely flustered out in the middle, and rightfully so. Like, that was an unbelievable spell from Archer. So, yeah, all on to Headingley.
It was a transfixing 26 minutes, hitting the arm, lowered his defences. I think quite literally, four bounces, fifth bouncer hits him. When you're watching and you're in the psyche of it, what were you thinking as Saturday night unfolded?
I was up on the Gold Coast with Dad. I'd just gone for a little holiday up there just to sort of refresh, and we were just sort of had a few beers down at the pub and came back in, and we're just sort of looking at each other like, this is full on. This is what Test cricket's all about. And it was just one of those things where, yeah, as a batter, you're sitting there going, I'm loving the challenge, but a little bit of me is going, wow, like this is full on. I think the pitch played a fair bit into Jofra Archer's hands, because some balls were sort of shooting through a bit lower. When, as a batter, when you don't sort of trust the bounce of the pitch, it is a lot more intimidating, because all right, well, even if I get the length early, one could shoot through and sort of get me on the body. Whereas the, I guess, more true wickets, which I think Leeds is, from what I've been told, it's probably a little bit more comfortable, because all right, if I see it early, I can get under it with a bit more, I guess, belief. So it'll be interesting to see if Smithy gets up for this next game, how, I guess, that contest unfolds on a maybe more true surface, but probably made for more interesting viewing, I think.
Yeah. Well, how real's the fear factor in cricket?
I think when someone's bowling that quick, it's definitely real. It's definitely there. It's in the back of your mind. And again, I think the pitch plays a big factor. Like, I've played on some pitches where even facing quite quick bowling, you feel safe because okay, I can trust what's going on out here. But those pitches where there's that like element of uncertainty, that's when I guess you, as sort of Marnus said in that thing, you just got to keep trusting your processes and go back to what you know, because if you start overthinking it too much, it can be quite a scary experience.
So what's it like? Oh, I felt for Peter Siddle. So yeah. He's watched this and he walks out to the middle, and the English commentators are sharing their experiences of when they've walked out to bat and scratched their mark in blood on the pitch. Is there a certain element of going, how do you bury that deep down and walk out there?
Yeah, I think especially for bowlers. Like when you like bowlers obviously don't bat as much as batters. So like in the nets and stuff, we I guess I feel quite prepared going out to the middle most of the time because I've had that big bulk of preparation where I can work on these things and do all that. But bowlers generally get sort of, I guess, shunned to the end of training sessions because they're bowling most of the time. So I couldn't agree more. Like I think Smithy's the type of bloke that would be embracing that challenge. Like even though obviously getting hit on the forearm at 150 kilometres an hour isn't great and then obviously getting hit in the neck, but he's the type of guy that would want to just be out there and want to almost win that battle. Whereas if you're a fast bowler, I'm just getting as much protective gear on as I can and praying for the best, basically.
You've been hit a couple of times, which you've spoken about previously. How unnerving is it to get hit?
Yeah, it's not great. That initial sort of feeling when you go, something's not right, like when you just feel, especially obviously Smithy's had symptoms of concussion, which I've had in the past, that initial feeling's pretty uncomfortable. And I think my first hit back, like in the nets, is always the hardest bit for me. But once I've got through that, I generally feel okay. I'm like, okay, I'm back. I know what I'm doing sort of thing. So I think I guess that's been my experience. I don't know about other guys, but when you get hit initially, it is quite bad. And I think the hard bit can be sort of on the Smithy thing. Like I've gone back out and batted where I've sort of felt okay, but like I think it's almost the adrenaline of I just want to keep going. Like I've been taken off, you come back in, and then that night started to go, hang on a minute, something's not quite right. So I guess that's where it's a really difficult thing for doctors as well, because they're going, all right, you're feeling okay now, we can't predict how you're going to be feeling in 2 or 3 hours time with the delayed stuff. So yeah, it can be quite unnerving, but yeah, one of those things that I think is getting managed pretty well these days.
Do you wear the helmet with the neck guard on the back?
Yes, I do, yeah. So I had, this would have been maybe 5 years ago, I was playing district cricket for Melbourne, and the night before, mum just like rarely asks anything about cricket really, just goes, oh, have you got one of those neck guards? And I go, mum, I've never been hit there in my life. And the next day genuinely got hit there. So ever since then, obviously probably a good lesson, listen to your mum, but yeah, ever since that day I've had one on.
Does it take a little bit of getting used to, or so how did you find the comfort versus the protection?
It's a tiny bit heavier, which is I guess different the first time you use it, but almost similar to anything. Once you've done it a couple of times, it's like I find it perfectly fine, and now it's just part of I guess your normal kit, so I don't have any problems with it. And I think if it saves you getting smacked in the neck, I think it's a pretty good sort of safety mechanism to be using.
So you've learned to prioritize safety, is that?
I think so, yeah. Just get yourself in as good a, I guess, yeah, safety predicament as you can, especially with your head. Mine, big one's my head. Like, I've never worn a chest guard or an arm guard or anything like that, but my head, whatever they come up with, I'm happy to roll with.
When you're watching this cricket at the moment, Will, can you picture yourself there in 4 years' time? Can you picture yourself at Edgbaston or Lords or Headingley?
I'd like to think so, yeah. That's, I guess, the goal. It's one of those things where obviously you just want to sit, I guess, test yourself against the best. Like you've sort of like being even on that A tour sort of gave me a bit of a taste for it, which I really loved. And you sort of come back, and part of me was like, oh, I'm kind of happy to be going home. You get to be, I guess, around your friends and family building into the season. But that it gave you that burning desire for. I know I'm sort of close-ish, but I just want to get there and really test myself against them. And it just gives you that hunger, which is really good.
Is that the How much cricket have you played in England prior to this tour?
I'd been on an under-19 Australian tour there a few years ago and did really poorly. So I was kind of keen to get over there and, I guess, do well to, I guess, right that wrong in a way, if that's the right way to put it. And then I'd been on a school tour when I was 14 or 15, which was sort of a bit of a different experience than touring the way, I guess, we did this time.
Is it different?
It is different. It's you probably don't appreciate it unless you go over there, but the pitches seem a lot slower, generally speaking. So here you get used to sort of being able to stand up on the ball and time the ball, and over there you probably lack that, that pace that you get in Australia. It's challenging as well, especially with the Duke ball, just because I guess we've used it here, but in English conditions the overheads play such a big part. Mm-hmm. So you all of a sudden some clouds roll over, and like the ball's doing everything, and then the sun comes out and you feel like you could bat for 3 days. So it's very, which is good, though, I think. So it brings a good contest out between bat and ball.
You made the century at Bristol against Gloucestershire. Is how fondly do you think of that?
Yeah, it was good. I'd sort of played as a specialist fielder in the first couple of games because Wadey and a few of the other boys were absolutely smacking them, and then got sort of the message, are you going to open in the last two one days, which I was surprised about, to be honest. And then obviously got out there and got some runs, which was good. And mum and dad were there, which was awesome. Nice. So first 100 in Australian colours, I guess. Yeah, so it was pretty nice experience. Yeah.
Did it feel momentous?
Yeah, to a degree, just because you're in the green and gold. Like, it's just a different feeling, I think, even if it is an A tour, and I guess it wasn't against an England side. It's just that feeling of you've got the Australian badge on your chest, and yeah, it was just one of those exciting things, and doing it in another country as well was always good.
Did you feel so? You were always a long shot. You were clearly sent on that tour for the experience, and you're a future investment. Did you feel there was any way into this Ashes squad when you were there?
I don't think so. I was sort of over there, obviously knowing it's an experience, and I was pretty, I guess, calm in the fact that I'll be there for the A tour, enjoy that as much as you can, but the Ashes is probably just that one step away at this stage. And the other thing was, which is a good problem to have in Australian cricket, everyone was going well. So it's like there's going to be blokes that are unlucky to not be selected rather than, I don't want to say blokes who are lucky to be selected, but the last, I guess, couple of years there might have been a bit of that where it sort of felt like, all right, who do we try next sort of thing. But now it's all right, these blokes, three or four blokes, are actually pretty unlucky not to be there, which is obviously putting Australian cricket in good stead.
What was the vibe like heading to the Rose Bowl for the intra-club? Yeah. Which I think we all wished we could have seen. It's such a rare moment in Australian cricket to have. It wasn't quite Australia versus Australia A as it has been, but all the different prospects playing.
Yeah, that was quite a different experience, to be honest. The intra-club feel, I guess, is just so different because you're sort of obviously mates with everyone, and I guess it's one of those games where you sort of know deep down you're all fighting off for an Ashes spot. Like, it's not to be taken lightly, I think. And we had the draft. We went out for sort of a team drinks thing on the, I think it was the Friday night, and the game was sunny on the Tuesday, and had the big draft in front of everyone, which was great.
How did that work? How did the draft work?
I think there was some manipulating of the two squads, but we had the two coaches who basically just alternated draft picks and went one for one, and it did work out that the matchups they supposedly wanted ended up, I guess, occurring. But it was just a bit of fun and games to sort of get all the boys together, and then the two teams trained separately for the 2 days leading or 3 days leading in to make it that sort of, I guess, team feel, and then got to the day of the game, and it was basically on. Like, it felt like you're in a, like, as competitive a game of cricket as you would be in normally, which was, I guess, good. Like, that's what they wanted, and the pitch was obviously quite dicey, I'll say. So as a batter, it was quite a tough challenge against the best bowlers in Australia. But I think what was taken out of it was exactly what was, I guess, wanted, and they obviously picked the squad from there and rolled on to, where was the first test? Edgbaston.
Did you learn a bit during that week?
Yes, I did. It was the first time I'd sort of been around the group with Smith and Warner there, which was obviously the two of the five best batters in the world. So tried to feed off those guys as much as I could. And just being around that kind of environment, what it sort of takes, and trying to have as many, I guess, discussions as I could as a young guy with the senior guys, and also having Steve Waugh there was a massive plus. So he's someone I've had a tiny bit to do with in the past, but not a heap, but had a few chats to him about, I guess he got thrown in pretty young to the Australian setup as well. And sort of, he was good because he sort of understood where you're at in terms of, right, you're young, you're sort of, you know, a few years off, I guess, everyone else in the group. How do you approach sort of A, B and C, and then different sort of things in your game? And the other thing that was good about it was, even though you were competing, like, I haven't faced many spinners of the quality of a Nathan Lyon before until that game. And sort of after the day's play, you have a chat to him about, all right, what were you thinking? Like, what could I have done differently next time? And you get a lot out of that. And then even watching sort of Smithy go to work for the first time, like, I was sort of watching him, and you watch him bat and you're like, well, I can't really take anything out of your game from a technical perspective because you got your own your own setup, but understanding how he actually approaches training, what he's thinking in a game in terms of how he's setting up and I guess tactically for different bowlers and stuff was quite fascinating.
So from the outside, his obsessiveness has become the source of much amusement and affection.
Yeah.
What was it like to witness firsthand?
Well, the first thing I noticed was I thought that tapping thing was a bit of a myth that they came up with at the World Cup, that you could hear him tapping in the rooms. But that was, I remember just sitting in my room and you just hear like that tapping sound. And I've sort of, on a WhatsApp group with a couple of my mates, been like, boys, it's actually real. I can hear it like as I'm sitting here. So I think that obsessive sort of nature is quite endearing in a way. Like you're sort of watching him leave and stuff is quite entertaining and sort of you get sort of, I guess, a bit of an insight into what goes on in his head. But just the way he sort of goes about things is, yeah, obsessive in nature, but there's elements of it that I think a lot of people can learn from. Like a lot of people, including myself, couldn't probably, I guess, put as much time into that kind of obsessive stuff as he does, but he's worked out that that works for him, so he sticks to it. So it's that, all right, how much do you need to feel really comfortable? And that's just what he needs to feel comfortable and prepared. So from that perspective, you go, well, that's perfect because he's just worked out his own way and other people should probably do the same.
So does it help you find your own way? Do you feel more, I guess it's asking yourself the right question and finding what works for you. Do you think that experience has propelled you down that path?
I think so. It was more, I had a few chats to him about sort of his game plans for different bowlers and what he's thinking. And I found that really interesting because it was sort of gave you that probably extra step of insight of someone who's averaged 63 or whatever he does at test level and how he approaches different elements of the game, which I probably feel like I haven't put that much energy into in the past. It's probably been more about my game rather than, all right, so this bowler's going to try and get me out this way. These will be my main scoring options on like this particular pitch sort of thing, which I feel like can be sort of the next step in my game, sort of learning from things like that and going, all right, well, how do I sort of, yeah, approach things differently when you need to and then whilst also sticking to your basics and fundamentals that work for you.
Is he generous in what he's prepared to share?
Yeah, he is. He's a really good guy. He's just a normal sort of Australian, I guess, in a way. He's, I guess, pretty reserved, but if you talk to him about cricket bats or anything cricket, he's more than happy to open up and help you out, which is awesome. So Davey Warner was the same and a lot of the other senior guys are more than happy to help out where they can, which is awesome. Like you don't, as a young guy, all you want to do is kind of learn as much as you can and get as many different things off as many different people. And yeah, everyone was really generous in that regard.
Talking cricket with Will Pukowski. Will, do you feel like you are being nurtured by the Australian setup at the moment?
I certainly do feel that when I'm in there. I guess it's one of those things where as a young guy, probably people get around you a little bit just because you're obviously different to what they're used to, I think, in a way. And sort of just like you're at a different stage of your life. So they're kind of interested in, I guess, what's going on. And everyone knows that older guys generally like to sort of float up how good they were in their early 20s and whatnot. So that side's been really good. I don't know about nurtured, like on the whole, but it's definitely one of those environments where you go in there and you do feel loved, which is awesome. Like it's not, I guess, the old school thing of, oh, you got to earn your stripes or anything. It's blokes inviting you out for dinner, wanting to sort of actually, I guess, show an interest in how you're going and what you're up to. So in that regard, it's been a pretty awesome experience.
What's Justin Langer's relationship? What sort of relationship is he building with you?
I'm a bit cheeky to him, to be honest.
Right.
So yeah, we get stuck into each other a bit, which is good. I sort of tend to get along with people a lot better when you've got that thing where you can sort of rip into each other a little bit, but he's been super supportive of me, to be honest, and sort of messages me quite regularly about how I'm going. And then sort of, if you do well, he'll send you a message saying well done. And obviously that means a lot to me because he's got a lot on his plate and he's doing a lot of different things. But I guess from my perspective, it's just nice to sort of get that, have that connection with someone of that regard.
How close were you to making your test debut at the Gabba last summer?
I think I was pretty close from all reports. I genuinely didn't find out until maybe 3 o'clock the day before that I wasn't playing. So it was obviously up in the air. That was quite a stressful sort of day or two when you were sort of waiting. yeah, I think I was pretty close, but obviously wasn't meant to be. And sort of looking back on it now, I'm kind of happy I didn't play. I sort of look at it and I go, I probably wasn't quite ready then. But and it sort of gives you that hunger that sort of what I was saying before about the A Tour as well. It just gives you that hunger and desire, and means that when you get there, I feel like now I'd definitely be ready, which is a good feeling to have, just from a personal point of view.
When you're told it's not going to happen, what was that feeling?
It was quite mixed, to be honest. Like, part of me was relieved just to find out, because yep. I'd been like, I remember like that morning, I think we had training in the afternoon that day, and that morning I was just sitting there in my room just going like, holy, like, wow, like, tomorrow I could be playing Test cricket for Australia. Part of me was relieved. Part of me was sort of, I guess, disappointed because you'd got so close. But it was just a bizarre sort of, I guess, setup. Like, I'd sort of felt like I'd come from nowhere a little bit, and it's sort of just been almost like a Category B rookie selection that had just been thrust into the limelight on the back of not much. So I guess, yeah, it was a mixed feeling, but an experience that I'm very glad I had.
What do you feel like? Do you have a clear path, do you think, this summer? So you went back and batted for the first time yesterday in a few weeks?
Yeah. I don't think anything's clear in cricket, to be honest. It's just going to be try and get a game for Victoria in the one days early on, and then I guess just try and bat. And like, I've been, I guess, at my best when I've kept it as simple as possible and just gone, look, you're in there to make runs, just do what you can to make runs and help the team win, and then everything else sort of seems to fall into place. So there's never a clear path. Like, you never know what's going to happen above. And to be honest, I'm not too worried about it. It's one of those things where I think if you're good enough, eventually you'll get your go. And then if you're good enough again, you'll take your opportunities when they come. So, yeah, it's nothing that I'm too worried about. And it's just going to be one of those things where, yeah, as a young guy, you just got to try and ride the waves a bit.
So it feels like to observe you when you say that is there's a calm, there's a comfort in that to you.
I think being exposed to, I guess, going on that A Tour, touring for 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it was, and having been in the Sri Lanka squad and played a bit of Shield cricket now, you just sort of get to that level where you don't get fazed that much by, I guess, the external stuff. And just trying to take it one step at a time. It's a bit cliche, but it's definitely a better way to go than sitting there worrying about it and trying to, I guess, map out your future.
You came in on the right morning. You're a mad Collingwood man, and Bucks
definitely.
Was here.
Yeah, had a good chat to Bucks. Just got my sort of points across where I think we should go about it in the next couple of weeks. So that was good.
What can happen for them, do you think?
It's a tough one, isn't it? It's probably, depending on results this week, whether we can sneak into the four. I think it's, the positive sign is, I don't know if I'm the lucky charm, but in England, we were no good when I was in England. Since we've come back, I've been flying. So I think we're sort of timing our run well, which is good. But it's probably one of those things where I know the Bulldogs did it, but unless you finish in the top four, it's a hard thing to win. But yeah, I wouldn't mind some potential matchups that could work out if results go our way this weekend. Yep. We beat Brisbane by 10 goals in Brisbane earlier this year. And Geelong at the G is always a bit of a 50-50, because they're obviously, they got obviously a very good team, but it's at the G. You're not too disappointed about it. The only tough one, I reckon, would be West Coast in West Coast, but see how we go.
So cricket, footy, EPL, and just a hit in the nets every
now
and then.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. A few rounds of golf and, yeah, cruise around a bit, which is good.
Very nice. Hey, it's great to catch up, Will. Thanks for taking us there.
Thanks for having me,
Jared. It's quite the journey. We'll stay in touch as the summer unfolds.
Sounds good. Thank you.